You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
They believe in their guy Stidham. And yeah, he's not a brand name yet, but neither was Tom Brady when he took over as a sixth round pick. I mean, Matt Castle won 10 out of those 11 wins that season, and he was not a sexy name. That's not what Belichick's interested.
Is something wrong?
No. Everything's cool right now. Might be some problems later, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
What they're saying is the perception is Belichick's not working with a lot. So if he wins 9-10 games, he might win Coach of the Year. And I expect Belichick to do better than 8-8 this season. I think so do the odds makers. So does the public.
I'm still going to enjoy this. I am a master of Greco-Roman wrestling, and I will crush you, and you will learn a new definition of pain.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
I think I would be more surprised if he absolutely sucked, because then it's like, what were you looking at, Bill? What were you doing, Bill, letting Tom Brady just walk away, not even going to the negotiating table, essentially? What was going on? That's sort of what I would say.
I've had it with this dump. We got no food. We got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off.
If Jared Stidham plays like a top five quarterback, that would surprise me more than if Jared Stidham plays like a bottom five quarterback. I'm expecting Stidham to be kind of like that. You know, he's not going to screw up too much and kill you, but he's not going to do the spectacular either.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can.
For the love of God, cherish it.
Now it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
All right, welcome into the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Mark Dondero, Ben Kitchen here in Providence. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I haven't done a status check on you in a while.
Uh-oh.
With this whole quarantine
Uh-oh.
Still going on. How are you feeling? How's things going?
I'm all right.
How's the neighborhood?
Cleaned up now.
Ben had to lay down some wood last night.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Not in the fun kind that you're thinking
No.
In the highly aggressive kind.
So,
not fun.
Okay.
Haven't been there in a while and had to revisit that island yesterday.
Okay. So there's a few things I want to get to. I was thinking about something that occurred during the Jordan, not something that occurred, but while I was watching the Michael Jordan documentary last Sunday night.
Yes.
Something very vivid dawned on me regarding Tom Brady and
yeah.
the Patriots and more so going forward. I want to get to that. But first, you know, there was a few things I thought that were interesting regarding this Gary Myers story. Is it even a story? The Gary Myers tweet regarding Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady reportedly having some sort of riff, or Josh McDaniels being one of the primary reasons that Tom Brady decided to leave the Patriots for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The one thing I will say, before I let you go, I'll let you start with this, but the one thing mm-hmm. I will say, I looked back on March 23rd on this show, I brought up to you.
Yep.
Has anybody heard from Josh McDaniels? I mean, they were close. They had a close relationship, I thought.
Yep.
They still do, according to Brady. They work closely together. I just felt like McDaniels was a guy that was in line for some sort of statement or comment or just to hear from him about Tom Brady, who he had worked with, the guy who had basically made his entire career, deciding to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was strange. We never heard anything from Josh McDaniels. Then I see this tweet. Now, Tom Brady comes out hard that he is not in a bad place with Josh McDaniels.
Yep.
And I believe him. But I'm, you know, and I think Gary Myers also had some other people online that were sort of corroborating his report, saying that mm-hmm. this is what was going. There was a little bit of something going on there. What's your takeaway from everything that you read and that you heard?
Well, let me ask you something. Have you ever worked with a friend? Have you ever worked with a close personal friend? Whether you were already friends pre-existing going into your working relationship, or while working you became really close friends?
Yeah, I don't like I try to avoid doing that.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
There's a reason
for
that.
But yeah, it's sure.
So, you know, my old co-producer, Andy, is one of my best friends in the absolute world. But he and I will both openly talk about there was challenges along the way, especially when you're working so close with someone that sometimes you get into arguments with each other. Sometimes there's hurt feelings and sometimes, you know, the relationship isn't great, even though outside of the office, we're still good friends. But in the office, there might be moments of friction. And I think that's what this is. I believe Gary Myers. I don't believe Tom's full denial.
Well, hold on.
But I believe Gary Myers to a certain extent that there was frustration there. Not that the relationship deteriorated completely away and they don't like each other or anything like that, but I think what Brady was going through, everything, kind of wore on that relationship. Whether that was the fault of Tom, whether that's the fault of Josh, I think that there's a lot of validity to what Gary's saying. And then Chris Gasper comes out and backs it up with different sources saying the same thing, saying he's heard the same thing from people that would be absolutely in a position to know exactly what's going on. So I'm going to tend to believe that side of it versus Tom's side of it, because why wouldn't Tom deny it? Why wouldn't he? Of course he's going to.
So you think that it wasn't so much Josh McDaniels being one of the reasons Brady left. It just happened to be that Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady experienced a little friction as Tom Brady's time with the Patriots was winding down and he was heading to Tampa
Bay. If I were to hypothesize about what happened, it probably seems to me like this. Tom and Josh were close. Tom thought he was really close, had an ally in Josh, and then Josh is looking at the situation for his employment and the amount of money he's making. Looks like, well, I got to attach myself to Bill. And if Bill's game plan is to move on and start to phase something out, I've got to be on the same page with him because he's my boss.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where you get that sense of friction where Tom's like, I want to make sure these certain plays are in and Bill doesn't want them to be in. So Josh has to now be put in a weird, awkward position where he's in the middle of these two butting heads. And I think that's what it left. And that caused a sense of deteriorating relationship between Tom and Josh, because Tom probably looked at Josh as, that's my guy. And Josh is in that unfortunate position where he's got to be put in between Bill and Tom when there's friction between those two. And I think that's where this comes from. I think that's exactly where this comes from. But no, I don't think Josh is the reason Tom's leaving. I think he looks at it as like, hey, my friend, you know, I thought we were on the same page with this. I thought we were aligned as the offensive unit here, but we're not quite. And it seems like I'm being phased out a little bit. And Josh is complicit in that phase out where I thought we were cool. I thought we were better than that, whatever. But no, I think the ultimate reason Tom left comes down to Bill. Down to Bill and Tom.
Yeah. And I thought that was a great outline of what you think might have happened,
well,
or how things transpired.
You know, when you try and infer what is actually said and start to think about workplace relationships and extrapolate certain things that happen in your life or other people's lives that you know of, and then you start to really put the pieces together, that's kind of how it seems to me.
Yeah.
Not like they're not going to be friends anymore. Believe me, Andy and I got into really bad fights sometimes at work. We're still great friends out of work, but there'd be times in work where we couldn't stand each other. But outside of work, still, he's one of my closest friends in the world.
Just to piggyback off of what you said, I think I agree with everything you said. I would say it like this, just kind of phrasing it differently. Josh, my guess is when Josh McDaniels left the Colts at the altar,
yeah,
one of the reasons that happened was because Robert Kraft decided that he was too valuable. And I'm wondering if after, there's no question, after the Super Bowl, the 2017 season, when the Patriots lost to the Eagles and Malcolm Butler didn't play, there's no question there was a lot of friction. There was a lot of tension within the Patriots locker room. Gronk has admitted it on the Fox pregame show, even without saying it, as he's admitted it, that there was a lot of tension, a lot going on there, a lot of bad feelings. There was a lot of tension between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady during that season with the whole Alex Guerrero saga. There was a lot of tension there. So I think that Robert Kraft had to make sure that Josh McDaniels stayed, not just because of the offensive continuity, but because he was a perfect buffer between Bill and Tom, and he was a good guy to keep in place. Okay, I think that, to your point, sort of deteriorated over the course of the last season plus two seasons, maybe because of some of the stuff we talked about on March 23rd, where Tom Brady physically doesn't look as good, hasn't played as well, and he had to have an honest conversation with Bill Belichick, who we know might have been, you know, partial to moving on Josh might have had to kind of stand down a little bit in defense of Tom and say, you know, he's still really good. He's not the elite quarterback that he once was. He's still really good. And maybe, like you said, that didn't allow him to defend Tom as much when it came to wanting these certain plays in, mm-hmm. or maybe Brady wasn't, you know, he admitted as much to Howard Stern. He wasn't trusting receivers. Maybe Josh didn't appreciate that as much, and he really couldn't back Tom Brady in that regard. He wasn't trusting the young guys.
Think about it. If you're the offensive coordinator, you're in Josh McDaniel's shoes, and you've got these young wide receivers that, let's say Josh thinks they're talented and thinks they can be productive for the team and help the team win games. And he's seeing his quarterback get really frustrated and ice him out, essentially. You're in Josh McDaniel's shoes. You're going to be frustrated with your quarterback, too.
Right.
And go, you're icing all these guys out, so now you only have one option to throw to. You're making it harder for yourself, unnecessarily so.
Right. So Tom Brady probably came out on Instagram to make a point that the relationship is fine, and I'm sure the relationship is fine. Okay? It was probably just fractured enough where he didn't have as much support from McDaniels as he once did, didn't have the full support, so that on top of Bill Belichick, on top of the grind, on top of the frustrations over the contract, and on top of the intrigue of playing somewhere else with actual weapons, was probably all a part of his reason to leave,
yeah.
his decision to leave. So I don't think it was it's not because of Josh. Gary Myers made it sound like it was Josh McDaniels that really ushered Tom Brady out of town because of the bad relationship that had unfolded.
He made it sound as if, the way he phrased it, it made it kind of sound as if a major, major factor was his relationship with Josh. And yep. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's
no,
the case.
No, I completely agree.
And I think it was slightly erroneous of Gary Myers to phrase it that way. And then he tried to backtrack and say, what was his next tweet? It's funny how things get misinterpreted. I was not being critical of Tom Brady at all when I reported about his deteriorating relationship with Josh McDaniels. After 6 Super Bowl rings and 9 Super Bowl appearances, is there anybody who doesn't think he deserved major input into the game plan? So he's kind of trying to shade back to the Tom side and maybe throw it at Josh and have it, in his mind, appropriately be, Josh is the reason for the deteriorating relationship, not necessarily Tom Brady here. I think he was trying to backtrack and get back into Tom Brady's good graces. I mean, he was a defender of Tom, particularly when it came to Deflategate. He was a big defender of Tom.
Gary Myers?
Yes.
Well, he wrote the book, Brady versus Manning. Yeah. Brady and Manning, whatever the book was.
But when it came to Deflategate itself, he was all about defending yeah. him. And he's been always a kind of Tom defender in a certain way. So, yeah, it's just interesting how you can put a little bit out in 140 characters, 280 characters, whatever it is, and then slating. It's funny how things get misinterpreted. Well, it's your fault. The way you phrased it led people to believe
yeah.
that.
I know why he phrased it that way. There's more clicks when you do that.
Absolutely.
There's more intrigue when you do that, but that was irresponsible because that's not what was going on.
Yeah.
And any idiot was, I mean, look, here's the thing, okay? I think it became pretty clear that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, the reason Brady is gone is because of the relationship with Bill Belichick. But it's also clear that the relationship is in a good place. There's respect there, and it wasn't overly heated, and it wasn't all that, you know what I mean? So if that's the case, where, yeah, the relationship ended with the Patriots because of Bill Belichick and the grind it is to play for Bill Belichick, but they're still in a good place personally, I guess, or a fine place, there's no way it became worse with Josh McDaniels. And that's what this tweet made it sound like, that Josh McDaniels was the primary reason that Tom Brady left, but Bill Belichick wasn't. No, no, no. If there was any reason that Brady left because of a coach, it was Belichick. It wasn't McDaniels.
Yeah, I'll be honest. The way I look at it, and again, you don't know how certain people believe inside them, but I guarantee they both have tremendous amount of respect for each other. I don't know if they overly like each other.
No. No, they don't have to like each other. But they have respect. And they're not going to, I don't think.
No, they're certainly not going to publicly put it out there.
Right, but I don't think it's in a situation where if they're at the same party, they don't speak to each other or something.
Yeah.
Like if they see each other at a Hall of Fame event, they don't speak to each other. I don't think it's that cold.
No,
that's
no,
all
no,
I'm
no,
saying.
No. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just don't think they really like each other that much. But not to the point where they can't stand each other, they can't be in the same room as each other, they just would rather not.
Right.
That's how I view it.
That's fine, and that's fine. I mean, because you can have tons of respect professionally
yeah.
and not really care to be around each other and not have have to go get dinner with each other
yeah.
Personally. But I just, the relationship will, I think it was just clear that the relationship between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, or the relationship between Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels, was never going to be worse than the relationship between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So that kind of just mitigated the whole tweet right off the bat. Don't tell me that it was because of Josh McDaniels when we've gone through this whole process of analyzing, was it because of Bill Belichick? Well, yes, it might have been. But Brady wasn't harboring any bad feelings towards Belichick. I mean, he had plenty of opportunities. If the feelings were that bad, he could have let it be known. But he just and the other thing is too, Brady is the guy. Brady's the A-lister. You know, Josh McDaniels. So if things were changing for the worse, Tom Brady has to have some hand in that. It's not just McDaniels.
Of course.
So
of course. I think it would be irresponsible to put all that blame on Josh. Absolutely irresponsible. It takes two to have a bad relationship.
What did you think of Brady coming out the way he did on Instagram and immediately, I guess, more than just throwing water on the report, but calling out the reporter with a fiery tweet or whatever it was, Instagram post?
Yeah, I didn't put a whole ton of stock in that. Of course he's going
would
to. Wouldn't
that?
You?
Would he have done that? Well, would he have done that with the Patriots? Is this a different Tom, a new Tom Brady?
That type of tweet, he would have done that if he was still on the team. Absolutely. He wouldn't have done the Howard Stern interview. He wouldn't have done certain other things, but he would have still put that tweet out. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know. Where he would have said, be better reporting or something like that.
Yeah,
directly calling out the reporter.
Yeah, I still think he would have. I still think he would have, regardless. But I'm not overly buying it. I'm not sitting here going, like, oh, Tom denied it, so obviously this is bullcrap. Let's be real here. Let's be real. It's about an image for him, and stories like that don't help his image. So you come out, you deny it, trying to protect your image. That's what it is.
Well, yeah, I just think he thinks that he read the tweet like we all did.
Yes.
That Josh McDaniels was the reason that he left, and that wasn't true. It was.
Yeah.
You know, they might have had the relationship might not have been as good as it once was. It might not have been all roses, but it wasn't the reason Brady left. So he said this BS.
Yeah.
And said something about it.
Yeah, I'm fine with
that. I agree with that. I mean, I don't not agree.
Well, I agree with that element of it, but I disagree with the notion that there was no friction between Tom and Josh.
Oh, no.
But you're right. In terms of if you're receiving it as Josh is the reason Tom's leaving, yeah, I can understand that. But let's be real. I'm sure there was plenty of friction between the two of them. I mean, it's just natural. That type of stuff does happen, especially in a workplace. Especially in a workplace.
All right. Let's get it trending. When we get back, I want to talk about there's a part of the Michael Jordan documentary I thought was interesting, and I also think it has to do with Tom Brady going forward and how he'll do on the Bucks. I'll explain when we get back. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show.
Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. Trending now. Now, the WEEI Trending Now.
Good morning at 9:23. Here's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com. Aaron Rodgers says his desire to stay with the Packers for his entire career may not be a reality after the Green Bay Packers drafted Utah State quarterback Jordan Love in last month's draft. Yankees do not expect Aaron Judge back from his rib injury until the summer. And the mayor of Boston did say once the MLB season opens up, the Red Sox can play games at Fenway, but with no fans. I'm Devin Talagani, and that's what's trending now.
Now, back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show. Final two episodes of the Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance. I'll give you the number 401-737-1287 if you want to give us a call. The final two episodes of The Last Dance will air on Sunday night. I have a take from last Sunday's episode, and so do you. Go ahead.
One of my favorite parts of it was they're talking about the finals in 1996, and it's the Supersonics versus the Bulls in the finals, and the Bulls are kicking their ass for the first couple of games, and then all of a sudden, Gary Payton's John saying, "No, it's time. I have to guard Jordan. I have to go one-on-one with Jordan. That's what we have to do." And he has a great game, and he's John at him, and of course, the Bulls win in six. That's just what they do. And then they hand the iPad or surface, whatever, to Jordan. And he's watching Gary Payton's cuts that they're going to put into the documentary. And he's just kind of laughing and smirking. And what did he say when he put it down?
The glove.
And he goes, the glove. Ah, I have a problem with the glove. I had no problems with the glove.
So I have two comments about that scene.
Okay. I'm loving this documentary. So, and most of this stuff I've already seen. A lot of it you've already seen. You've heard about the stories about him fighting Kerr. You've heard about a lot of that stuff in practice already, especially if you're kind of obsessed with that era of basketball in a weird way, because that's when we were young and growing up. I've heard most of this stuff, but just watching Jordan talk and talk about how he leads and how he deals with his teammates, how his teammates kind of deal with him. It's just been absolutely fascinating. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, I would hate to play with Jordan. I'm sitting there watching it. I would love to have played with Jordan. I would love to have been on his team. And just through osmosis, get some of that competitive juice in me. I would just love that. It would seem like it would be the peak. To have the best player in the world as your teammate, and he is so driven that he's going to try and drag everyone with him, that sounds awesome to me. Sounds so much better than trying to play with Kobe, who's just too selfish and trying to be Michael Jordan. I'd rather play with Jordan than LeBron, even though LeBron's more of a facilitator. He'll get more people involved during the game, and you might have more fun a little bit with that. But knowing that that success is going to come with Jordan, he's going to drive everyone to be as best as possible so that selfishly he can win and the team can win, I'm fine with that. I love it.
So two comments about that Gary Payton scene. Number one, I didn't feel bad for Gary Payton, but I'm watching this scene and laughing.
Yeah.
At how much of Gary Payton just looks like an idiot. I mean, he looks awful because Jordan just once again took a dump on his chest. Okay. But then I look back or I watch, because I might have seen that scene as like one of the previews before it aired.
Yeah.
Then I watched the entire episode, and the Sonics, they went down 3-0.
Yeah.
Okay. But then that's when Payton told George Karl, forget you, I'm guarding Jordan. And then they won two games.
Yeah.
So Payton has somewhat of a point. Now, I don't know. Jordan said that he had stuff on his mind, that Father's Day stuff. Well, but Payton has a point. He wasn't guarding Jordan for the first three games. Then he guarded him for two games. They won two straight.
Yeah.
Sort of a point.
No. But that's why I kind of thought the whole thing was humorous. I didn't have a problem.
No, and maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't, or I don't remember exactly what Jordan's stats were in games, whatever it was, 4 and 5. But I thought when I first heard it, oh, so Gary Payton probably switched onto Jordan for the second half of game 3 and game 4. And it was like they lost, but it was a little bit more competitive, and then they won one game. That would have been laughable. But when they won two straight and sort of got back into the series, he had somewhat of a point. The series did change when he started guarding him. The Bulls ended up winning. There wasn't really a ton of stress, but it was a game changer in a way.
Listen, George Karl.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Well, and then he didn't.
George Karl sucks.
He didn't say hi to Michael Jordan at dinner.
He's just an idiot. I think he's a capable coach, but no one got in their own way more than George Karl. Whatever stop he was at, whether it was Seattle, Milwaukee, Denver, no one gets in his way more than George Karl.
So the other thought I had during that Michael Jordan, Gary Payton exchange scene, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That right there is what being the GOAT is all about. That moment right there. And I can only hope that one day Tom Brady will publicly share a moment like that. Find it in him to share publicly that type of moment where he's getting asked about a matchup from back in the day that he had with this person.
With Revis.
He's like, come on. Revis, whatever. Whoever it is.
Go watch the Randy Moss catches over Revis. Sure. I didn't have a problem.
Whoever it is, I just want him to have a moment like that where he could, because, football's different.
Yep.
Brady wasn't undefeated in the championship game, all of those things. But there are some moments, there's some matchups, there's some situations where Brady just owned you. And I hope that one day he can have a moment like that and we can hear about it. And he can tell, because I want to hear about those moments.
Yeah.
And Jordan, the credit to Jordan, he's willing to do those things because he's so competitive and so cocky to an extent. He'll do that. He'll give you a moment. I had no problem with the glove.
Yeah.
I want to hear Tom Brady say something like that.
Well, see, that's why I like Jordan, even though he's protective of his image, we know that going into this documentary because of what came out and him saying, kind of worried about how people are going to view me after this, but he still lets it fly. So that's the difference with Tom, is I don't think Tom's ever going to really let it fly like that.
And tell his
honest truth inside of what he feels about other players. I don't think he's ever going to do that. I think he's too protective. And that's what I respect and like about Jordan. He hasn't stopped the trash talk.
No.
He hasn't stopped it, and he won't.
I don't really understand what he was saying, that he didn't know how people were going to perceive him after this. Are we really finding out a lot of stuff that we didn't know about?
No, see, that's the thing. Well, we knew about it because we obsess over this stuff. But I think the general public might not know about fighting Steve Kerr, or the way some of his teammates didn't necessarily like him, or some of the stuff that went on. You know, you look at that one part where the book that Sam Smith wrote, The Jordan Rules.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't talk to him. It was Horace. Horace is the one that, and he just kind of threw Horace under the bus there. Yeah. That's not good.
No.
That's not good. But overall, I look at it and go, I like you even more. I like you even more with your weird yellow eyes, Michael Jordan.
So my wife brought that up to me. And
his weird yellow eyes?
I can't stop looking at
it. I can't either.
I wish he didn't say anything.
I saw like some doctor tweet about it like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Like, yeah. I'm a little concerned about Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
His yellow eyes. And now it's almost all I can see.
Yeah.
It's odd.
You know, I hope he's all right.
Maybe he's a lizard person. You don't believe in that nonsense, do you?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So one thing that I thought of last week, watching this, and you can react to this, and this has nothing really to do with the Patriots going forward, but it was just something when you're talking about the greatest of all time and Tom Brady's current situation.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan, when he played for the Bulls, and it's outlined beautifully in this documentary, had to be the a-hole, had to be the drill sergeant, the one that got on people, the one that kept the ship running tightly, the one that people, I don't know, didn't really like all that much. Do you remember this part with B.J. Armstrong where he's like, was Jordan a nice guy? And he was kind of like, you know, he could have been, but he wasn't really a nice guy because he got on his teammates and he rode his teammates. And it was hard to, I mean, they said it in the doc, that it was hard to play with him. But the same thing, the dynamic that existed was Jordan was that guy. And Phil Jackson, remind me what Phil Jackson's nickname is.
The Zen Master. Sorry, yeah.
Okay.
Spaced on that for a second.
So Phil Jackson was not that guy. He was a good coach. He got on you at times. But Jordan was the guy that rode his teammates. Jordan was the guy that kept everybody in line, that pushed people, the a-hole. Jackson was the Zen Master. Let's meditate on it. Let's, you know, put your arm around you, no yelling. Let's just talk it out. We'll do what we need to do. Dennis needs to go to Vegas. Whatever needs to happen to feel your inner zen, whatever. What's interesting about when I think about that and then kind of, you know, look at it from a Patriots perspective.
Yeah.
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick was that guy that Jordan was for the Bulls. He was the guy that people didn't really love. Was he a nice guy, Bill Belichick? Well, he could have been. He laughed sometimes. It was fun. But Bill Belichick was the guy that would ride you and grind you and really be the a-hole that people rallied against because he was the one that needed to get the best out of you. He was the jerk. He was the guy that didn't care about being your friend. He was the guy that wanted to win. Tom Brady with the Patriots could be the guy that was, hey, a supportive big brother. Scottie Pippen, put your arm around you. We're going to get through this. He's ultra competitive, held you accountable, but ultimately positive, didn't call you out, wasn't a real jerk outwardly. And it was a different dynamic. I'm wondering now, with Tom Brady in Tampa, Bruce Arians is not that a-hole. He is not Bill Belichick.
No.
Win or lose, we booze. He is a guy that is going to be your friend. He's just going to be chill. He's fun to play with. Players coach. I wonder.
Not chill Bill.
But I wonder this season and for the next 2 years how Tom Brady is going to handle that dynamic, because he didn't have to be the guy that nobody liked in New England because everybody didn't like Bill. Air quotes, didn't like Bill. You know, not fun to be around, not fun to play for. Belichick's admitted it's tough to play for him. He's been the one. Jordan said in the documentary, there's a price for winning. With the Patriots, Belichick and Brady split that bill, and Belichick paid the part that said a-hole, the guy that has to grind the players.
Sure did.
Jordan did that for the Bulls. Belichick did that for the Patriots. I'm wondering, with the Bucks, Bruce Arians does not do that. Will Tom Brady have to be that guy? And how will his new teammates react to that? How will Brady handle being that guy? How will he handle the backlash from being that guy?
Well,
how will the new teammates react to Tom Brady if Brady does have to be that guy? Because if he is that guy, I mean, you're either that guy and you get guys in line, or people just sort of do what they want. Now, maybe that'll be enough to win. I don't know.
It depends. There's a grace period, obviously, being the new guy in town, especially when you're coming in with the reputation of being the greatest of all time. So he's got a grace period with those guys. And if they start winning and they're ripping off big wins right away, and that's the attitude he is carrying, and that's how he's trying to drive and push his teammates, I think they're going to go along with it. If they're not doing so well, and he's not maybe necessarily doing great, he's fine, he's good, whatever, but he's not Mr. Greatness Tom Brady, and they're not winning all these games, that's going to wear really quickly.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Because, you know, there was a scene in the movie that you'd never see, you're an idiot, but Miracle. So there's a scene in that movie, not to get all into it, but there's two coaches, the assistant coach that's new to the team, hadn't worked with Herb Brooks,
yep.
And the doctor that had worked with Herb Brooks for a long time, and they're in a car. And the new assistant coach asked the doctor, is Herb always like this? Because he was riding his guys hard. He wasn't very likable. And the doctor goes, no, I've never seen this before. And the assistant coach says, well, he's going to lose his guys. And the doctor says, maybe if they all hate Herb, they have no time to hate each other.
Yeah.
And that's when that kind of the light went on for the assistant coach. And that was Bill Belichick, I think, in a lot of ways. Like if the team, the Patriots, all sort of had to worry about grinding for Bill, they didn't worry about some stuff within the locker room, little turmoil within the locker room between teammates and all those things. They were all kind of raging against Bill. I think that sort of was a similar dynamic. That doesn't exist in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to rage against Bruce Arians. They like him. Win or lose, we booze. Let's chill. We'll go home at 5. So if Brady starts getting frustrated that guys aren't working hard enough, guys aren't accountable enough, they're not winning, they're running the route at 14 yards when it's supposed to be at 17 yards, and he has to get on somebody, and the coach isn't chewing their ass out. He doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So Brady has to, and Mike Evans isn't used to that, and then they're 1-2 or 2-2, and Brady has a game where he throws a couple picks. How is that going to I don't know how all that's going to work. That's what I was thinking about, and it's interesting.
It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. I'm in some ways almost more interested to see how it plays out in Tampa Bay with Tom than I am to see how this season plays out with the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't understand. We talked about that. What's the big intrigue with the Patriots?
Is he going to show us flashes of, there's some greatness hidden in there that we just didn't know about yet that a lot of people missed on? That's the intrigue.
Yeah, sure.
You know, okay, how good is Bill without Tom? There's some intrigue there too.
If you think the Patriots are going to go 6-10, I think that's la land.
I've been steady on 9-7. We went through the schedule, we mapped it out. 9-7. I've been steady on that for a couple months now. I just think there's more intrigue watching how Tom Brady handles being in a new place with new teammates, a new coach, first time with a new coach. Because let's be real, Bill Belichick has been a head coach with other starting quarterbacks before. Mm-hmm. He has for a while, so. The intrigue is to see how Tom deals with his new teammates, how he tries to take control of that, how he deals with Arians, and whether or not it is a winning culture or not. I think there's more intrigue with what's going on there because that's one of those situations where it's like you could envision them being a 9-7 team. You could envision them potentially being a 14-2 team. You just don't know. But with the Patriots, we're looking at it like, we're pretty sure you're going to be somewhere between, 7-9, and maybe if you guys are really good and surprise some people, 10-6. It doesn't seem as interesting. It's like maybe you work your way into the playoffs with the extra playoff spot, but I'm not holding my breath.
No, it's a
and
good
if you,
point.
If you miss out on it, I'm not going to kill you for it as long as you had a productive season to a certain extent.
Yeah, it's a good point. You're right. We don't know about Tampa, and I don't know how Tom Brady's going to react. I don't know how the teammates are going to react. I just know that he's going to a totally different type of head coach. And they want that. Gronk wants that. More fun, loosey-goosey. I don't know. Is that going to – let's grind less. Is that going to translate to more wins?
To be honest with you.
That doesn't feel right.
As interested in, and of course, I'm a huge Patriots fan. I'm far more going to cheer for the Patriots than I am going to cheer for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I do want to see Tom Brady have success down there. I want to see them win some games. I'm far more invested in the Patriots. But we just talked about how I'm more intrigued in terms of certain how things play out with Tampa Bay. I'm almost more intrigued with how things play out in Green Bay than I am with how they play out with the Patriots right now.
Well, did you see Aaron? I think late last night.
Aaron Rodgers did a 40-minute conference call.
Okay.
And had some comments about the draft pick of Jordan Love and what his future is. And we should probably talk about that next when we come back, because I think it's fascinating. And there's speculation that Aaron Rodgers may end up with a new team.
Yes.
That's close to our hearts.
Okay. And he had a specific comment that I also want to get. I'll find it on Twitter, but I read something about, to your point, he talked about a new team, a new situation.
He talked about what his reality may be.
Yes. Okay. We'll get to that when we get back. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
It's Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Let's talk to Ralph in Cranston. Was that Sean Kingston?
It was.
Stop it, Devin.
Okay, good morning, guys.
Sorry, Ralph. Go
What's
ahead.
Going on, Ralph?
Okay. It's okay. Not bad. Stay safe, guys. Anyway, this was always about from the start. What is it worth to have Brady end up a Patriot? Now, his last season here, they did make the playoffs. And people look, oh, my God, the interception.
12-4, yeah.
They still did make the playoffs. Now, I think you have to be a fool, especially losing the players they lost, bringing Brady back, paying him that kind of money. They weren't going to win another Super Bowl with Brady the next year. I just don't think they really had the ability to do that.
Agreed.
And when you look at what it is, it's all about restarting this team, going in another direction. When did you actually want to start it? Because do you want to have Brady back? Now, people would have loved to have seen, we all would have loved to have seen him retire here. But it's a different day and era than it was years ago. And it's going to be a lot of fun for everyone. I mean, if the Patriots play Tampa, I'm rooting for the Patriots. But I'm still rooting for Brady in Tampa.
Yep.
You know, we're not going to play them this year. But, guys, you know, this was a good thing for all. I don't think Brady and Belichick have a bad relationship. Yes, they clashed at times. But they're both winners. They won together. And I think there's a lot of respect there. I just think there is. But Belichick wants to go in another direction and rebuild it. So I don't think it should ever be a conversation about, well, who doesn't like who's going to try to disrespect who. Because this is what I wanted. You know, I'm in my 60s. I'm older than you guys. I'd like to see them rebuild it, maybe go another championship. It wasn't going to happen with Tom Brady. But I can't wait for the statue, guys. I can't wait for the statue.
We'll get one.
Thanks for the call, Ralph.
Time, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Ralph.
Well,
appreciate it, brother.
Let me just ask, listen.
I think it matters when you're talking about who likes each other. When you see a relationship fall apart for whatever reason, and Ralph is right.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, there probably wasn't going to be another championship here.
But hold on. And I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me about the cap, because you could figure it out. You're telling me. Ralph's telling me. You're telling me. You would rather this situation we're in.
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, because what I wanted, and we're talking about could they have won another championship, Ralph just said that. If the Patriots brought back Tom Brady, and I don't know what the number would have been,
mm-hmm.
but if they brought back Tom Brady and they signed a Stephon Diggs or an A.J. Green, or they made a big play in the draft for a guy, a running back, whatever. They got a big weapon. Get me one of those big-time wide receivers. Let's say they signed, let's just have some fun. They had signed A.J. Green. Check that. They signed Stephon Diggs, and they traded for Tyler Eifert and had Tom Brady back with that defense, with the offensive pieces that are already here. Edelman, White, first-round picks, Harry, Sony Michel. The line they have, that wouldn't have excited you. That wouldn't have been a team that could win a Super Bowl with the defense they have. That's what I wanted. That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, but I don't know about the cap. I agree with you, but I don't think that was a reality. I think that
because
was part of the problem. Yeah, I mean, that's a major factor.
No,
you
got
to look at it, and
no,
you're talking about the offensive line. Well, you got to pay Joe Tooney to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that hit right now is higher
franchise.
Than it should
yep.
be. But you're running out of money.
I don't know if it would have been. But usually you can figure out a way
yes.
to maneuver around
sport.
In the cap. I don't know what Stephon Diggs' contract would have been. Eifert, I don't know what their contracts would have been. But I feel like you could have found a way.
Well, Diggs got traded.
Diggs got traded. It's true.
Keep that in mind.
But
he got traded.
So I don't know what his contract is right now. But I'm just, usually you can find a way for a year to kind of make something like that work. That's what I was hoping for. And they would have been, don't tell me they wouldn't have been a contender or in a position to win a championship if they had brought back Brady and added a number one wide receiver. Forget about Eifert. A number one. A.J. Green and Brady come back. Is this a championship contender next year? They get A.J. Green and Brady comes back.
It's hard to say with A.J. Green because we don't know what he's like coming off a massive injury. But if you're saying Diggs, someone like, let's put Diggs out there because we've at least seen him last year and we have a little bit more of an understanding where he is and he's younger and everything like that, then I'm going to put you in a better position. But I still look at some of the other teams and go, it might still be hard to beat Kansas City.
It's always going to be hard to beat Kansas City, no matter who you have.
For the Patriots, it might still be hard to beat
Pro Bowl team would
Baltimore.
Have trouble beating them. Yeah.
So, honestly, I mean, the biggest... there's one domino. If that didn't fall, then I think Tom Brady's still here. If Antonio Brown didn't blow up after 1 week.
I don't know about that. He said before the season that he knew he was gone after this season.
Yeah, but I think he's probably thinking that before they make a deal for Antonio Brown because that was during the season, technically, was it not?
It was
right
after week one.
Yeah. It was after week one? So there you go. So before the season, and then all of a sudden Antonio Brown comes here and you have a good relationship with him, which obviously they seemingly did. He couldn't stop talking glowingly about him and supporting him in every step along the way. If he could have just bottled it up a little bit and they would have had some success here, I still think you'd see Tom Brady still here.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, it might have been the Saturday before week one. I think the Patriots played. They opened on Sunday night. I think it might have been
Saturday. They played the Steelers, so it might have been right. It might have been right before that.
I think it was the Saturday before the game against the Steelers, I think.
You're possibly right.
Yeah.
You're possibly right. But, that's what I think. But
so you wanted to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Here was the quote from Aaron Rodgers. I guess I don't know where he went on, but he was talking. He was talking about the Jordan Love
draft. He did a conference call.
Conference call.
Yeah.
This is the quote. And remember, the Green Bay Packers in the first round selected a quarterback. So there's that. Quote, my sincere desire to start and finish with the same organization, just as it has been with many other players over the years, may not be a reality at this point. So he's understanding that they drafted a quarterback in the first round. It's a double whammy for him because not only do they not get a chance to improve the team now, they're also looking to replace him. That's the replacement. So how are you supposed to feel if you're Aaron Rodgers? It's a tough thing to get over. You know, it's sort of like, all right, you're on the clock. Because when his rookie contract is up, usually it doesn't happen like it did with Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo, usually.
Yeah.
Usually the young guy takes over. Brady was the outlier.
That's typically the case. It's going to be very interesting because I can't stand Aaron Rodgers. I cannot stand him.
Correct.
And I just think he's a selfish butthole.
Selfish butthole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you a parrot?
I was just trying to think of like how buttholes are selfish. But whatever.
Yeah. He's selfish and he's a butthole.
Go with it.
So we'll just put them together.
Okay.
I can't stand him. I can't stand his personality, his attitude, any of that. I'm not going to deny that he's incredibly talented. But what I did find very interesting is, how old is he? 36 right now? I think he's 36.
35 or 6, yeah.
I believe he's 36. And he says that comment about, well, starting and stopping may not be a reality anymore. And then all of a sudden, the speculation, NBC Sports, Nesson, Clutch Point, Sports Not, Musket Fire, Chowder and Champions, all these websites. Oh, Aaron Rodgers to the Patriots. No, thank you. Uh-uh. What's the point? By the time he leaves the Packers, he's going to be 38 years old, 39 years old. You're going to go back to that well when you already tried to move on from a guy who's an established, fantastic, amazing player, but you're already trying to move to the next generation, put that out of your mind. Aaron Rodgers is not coming to the New England Patriots.
No, and I don't think the Patriots want to pay that kind of contract to a guy at that age. They just don't want to be in a big money situation with a quarterback.
I'm going to go with Curran's perspective on this, Tommy Curran's perspective. Big ticket quarterbacks need not apply in Foxborough. Need not apply. I think that he's right in terms of that's the direction they're trying to take. We don't need that guy. We don't need to pay that price. We can win with our system as long as the guy is more than capable.
Yeah.
Now, will they be successful? I believe that that is what they're thinking.
Yeah. It's a tough dynamic. Okay. And I think a big reason. So I know everybody wants to talk about the next Tom Brady and this and that. One of the reasons Bill Belichick and Tom Brady had unparalleled success. We all know that. The combination of those two was lethal. But I think a big reason why Tom Brady had so much success, and this is the question with Patrick Mahomes right now. Mm-hmm. What will he do? What will his contract look like? A big reason that Tom Brady had so much success for so long was because of his willingness to play for less. That continuously put the Patriots in an advantageous position with the cap where they were able to sort of still be a team. Because those numbers that Kern put out there, they are real and they are jarring in a way where if you're over so much of this percentage of the cap as a quarterback, you don't win the Super Bowl. Brady was never higher than whatever percentage that number was, 15%, 17%. He was usually around 10, 11, 12. And if you're high, if you're a high percentage of the cap as a quarterback, you never win the Super Bowl, stats say. That's what it tells you. Brady always was able to keep them under a certain percentage, so the Patriots always had a certain amount of flexibility. I think that was almost as responsible for the run of dominance as the combination of Brady and Belichick, quarterback and head coach. Not as responsible as the quarterback-head coach combination, but it was there. So the question is, and I get what Curran's saying in this article, you know, you don't want to, like, I totally agree with what the Dallas Cowboys are doing.
Yes.
Do not give Dak Prescott Dallas.
Well, they shouldn't have also paid Cooper that.
No.
I mean, that to me, that's more egregious.
Right. Well, there's other, okay, that's a good point. But don't get, look, Prescott, we know what he is. He's good. He's not great. So don't pay him like he's the best quarterback in the league. That just screws you. So I agree with them there. But the problem is you've got to find a way to get a top-notch quarterback. And I don't know how. I mean, if you have a top-notch, if Mahomes wants his money, what are you going to do? Not give him his money? You have to. You just have to hope that he understands what worked for Brady and the Patriots and that he takes less. You can't ask, it's hard to ask him to do that, but that is why the Patriots were able to sustain that type of success. Brady took less. You can't do that if the guy is 20% of the cap. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work. So if you're a Patriots fan, if you're a fan of any other team, you hope, obviously, that Pat Mahomes takes every cent that he, every dime that he deserves and doesn't take less, because that will really put the NFL in a tough spot. When a guy that good is willing to play that type of ball at the negotiating table, really hurts their chances of really deteriorating because you can afford other guys, because you can keep it going. Now, you still need the smarts of Belichick and the ability to be a head coach and have a culture and, you know, see the future and get prospects into the program and all those things. But if a top-notch quarterback is going to take less, that's the worst-case scenario for every other team. That's why it was such a nightmare for 20 years for all the teams that went up against the Patriots, because not only was Brady ultra-elite, but he took less and allowed them to have the flexibility, and Bill Belichick knew what he was doing. So you have to have that guy. But the problem is, you also, if you have that guy and he wants to be paid, if Mahomes wants to be paid, you need to have that type of quarterback to win the Super Bowl. So I don't know what you're going to do. You don't want to be in the business of paying elite quarterback money, but you need an elite quarterback. I mean, I don't. What are the Patriots just going to just go with the system? That guy might get you to 9-10 wins. He's not going to win a Super Bowl.
Do you need an elite quarterback, though, to win it all? Nick Foles, not elite.
You need to be elite at something. Elite at something. Nick Foles wasn't elite, but he played like he was elite in those games.
Sure. Peyton Manning did not play like he was elite.
How was the defense?
Amazing.
Elite.
So that's what you're saying. Some element of the team has to be.
And that defense was special, beyond special.
But as I go through the list, Joe Flacco, not elite. He had some amazing plays.
Elite. He was elite in that run. Was he 12 touchdowns, no interceptions?
Anquan Boldin was elite in that run. Anquan Boldin bailed his ass out.
No, you're right.
But I understand what you're saying. Eli Manning, not elite, but yes, he had elite runs.
But again, though, you're not elite.
But so the point is, can you get an elite run out of a good quarterback and win a Super Bowl? Yes.
Yes.
You can.
But then what happens?
Then you're a crappy team the next year, like the Giants would be.
Well, you don't pay him? You have an elite run out of Joe Flacco. You give him $100 million and you deteriorate. But you haven't.
And then you're an irrelevant team for a few years.
So here's the problem, though. Jarrett Stidham, and I don't even know where I'm going with this, because if Jarrett Stidham finds a way to lead the Patriots to a Super Bowl championship, he's going to have to make some plays along the way. So then what happens? His contract will eventually expire, and somebody's got to pay him. Are you going to pay him? Because if he wins the championship, by default, he's in a different conversation in terms of where he stacks up among his peers, mm-hmm. other quarterbacks. So is he elite? How did he look on the way to the champion? I mean, what do you do? Because you have to pay. You eventually have to find a way to get an elite quarterback if you can, you know? Are you just going to, oh, all right, thanks for the title. We'll move on from you, and we'll just do it again? That's risky. You hope that he takes less? It's tough. It's tough. Let's take a break. When we get back, we'll talk to Dan and Cranston. I want to get to the Blake Snell comments as well. Ugh. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show on 103.7 WEI.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.